Take out your copy of God's Word. Did you hear that? Take out your copy. I'm hoping you have a copy of God's Word. Now, I intentionally today have no PowerPoint. I had one. I chose not to put it up there. You know why? Because I want you to remember you need this book. I put the scriptures up every week, and sometimes we can think, wow, I don't even need to bring my Bible. Looky there. We got the Bible on the screen. But today I want to remind you of the necessity of carrying your own Bible. And we're going to read today, and so turn with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Some of you are looking on your phones. That's fine to have your Bible on the phone. I kind of feel like I need to apologize to God this morning, because I've been preaching the gospel since 1979, and this is the first time I've ever preached from Psalm 91. I preach a lot of sermons, and the Bible's a big book, but this is a powerful chapter in the Bible. And so today I'm going to preach it. And I probably got so much preach, I'll have to preach the same chapter next week. But Psalm 91, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the whole chapter. In the Bible, they would often stand for great lengths of time while they read God's Word. So we're going to honor His Word today. And we'll begin at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Lord, make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. They will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Lord, today I pray, God, that as we talk and share and preach Your Word, that our hearts would be receptive, that, Lord, we would receive it as the Word of God with great power and authority. And I pray, God, that our hearts would be tenderized today to receive not only Your Word, but Your Spirit, and make Jesus the Lord of our lives and trust in You, and then we know You will take care of us. Use me today, Lord. May Your hand rest on me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In the Believer's Bible Commentary, William MacDonald begins his comments on Psalm 91 by telling a story of a 5-year-old boy who was dying of diphtheria in 1922. The story goes like this. The mother was watching over her five-year-old son, and he was about to take what they thought was his last breath. I could not imagine being in that situation. But this mother was so grieved by what was happening, so overwhelmed, that she did not have the ability to stand there and watch her son take his last breath. Out of deep pain, she began to turn around, not wanting to witness the very last breath of her son. It was then there was a knock on the door. She opened the door, and there stood her brother-in-law. He had traveled a great distance to tell the mother this word from God. I've come to tell you that you do not have to worry about the child. He is going to recover, and God is going to save his soul. He then explained that the Lord had given him this message after he read Psalm 91. MacDonald, the author of the commentary who writes this story, says in his commentary, "I was that five-year-old boy." And he said that God spared his life, and 13 years later, God saved his soul. He went on to become a president of a Bible college, and in that college, he would teach the Word of God, he would preach the Word of God, and he became a prolific writer of Christian literature and commentaries. He said in Psalm 91, in his introductory comments on this chapter, he said, "Psalm 91 is my psalm." It is my psalm. He conceded his willingness to share the psalm with the rest of us, but he declared, "This is my psalm." So it is with every believer who knows and puts his trust in the Lord. This is our psalm. I'm telling you today, you can personalize this word from God, and you can declare, "This is my psalm." The title of the message is "Living in the Protective Care of Almighty God." What else do we know about Psalm 91 as we've read it today? We see that it has a powerful message about God's care, God's protection over our life. Psalm 91 is called an orphan psalm in the sense that we do not know who the author of the psalm is. Some say it was David. Some say it was Moses. But the reality is we just don't know. But when I read Psalm 91, I can't help but to feel the sense of Moses as the writer. Because as you read this, I'm reminded of how God put his hand on Israel when he delivered them from Egyptian bondage. And I see how God protected them from the plagues. And I see how Moses could have been used by the Lord in a mighty way to write about the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. The message of Psalm 91 is clear, and I want you to write this down. The Lord will protect the one who trusts in him. The Lord will protect the person who puts his trust in the Lord. Psalm 91 is considered a messianic psalm in that it finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The promises of this psalm are ultimately fulfilled in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. This is good news for us because as we trust in God, we know that God will take care of us. Now, it's interesting that Psalm 91 sits right next to Psalm 90 in your Bible. Now, if you were to read Psalm 90, you would discover that it's a warning about the reality of death. And then in Psalm 91, we have the promise of protection in life. So you have to interpret that, and you have to see them as being side by side. Yes, God will protect me, but we also know that in this life, we will experience trouble. We will experience terror. We will experience difficulty in this life, even the tragedy of death. Psalm 91 is not a promise that you can say with absolute certainty, I will never have any trouble, or I will never face the trial or the tragedy of death. We know that it is appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. And we know that when it's our time, when the Lord, and our time is in the Lord's hands, right? That's why you have to be ready. You have to be ready to meet God. But what this psalm does tell us is that in life, as believers, we have the promise that God will take care of us as we trust in Him. And that ultimately we will overcome the greatest enemy of our soul, and that is the enemy of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us through the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Psalm 91 is really a consolation to our hearts. It brings us comfort in a life that is filled with tragedy and difficulty and terror, and we can trust in God and know that God's mighty hand will be upon our life. Amen? The Lord will protect the one who trusts in Him. So what do we see in this psalm? I see three things. Number one, I see a life of confident trust in God. A life of confident trust in God. Listen to me. Watch. God, the greatest testimony that you can have in this world to other people is that the way you live, the way you talk, you demonstrate your trust in God. I want to ask you today, do you have absolute confidence that God is going to take care of your life and see you through every difficult, every challenging circumstance, every tragedy of your life? I have that confidence. Let me ask you this. Is there anything that could shake you to the point that you would lose your faith? I do not welcome trouble. I do not welcome terror, tragedy. I can think of bad things that could happen that would shake me, but I also know that with God's mighty power and God's hand, I will rise up and be triumphant even in the midst of difficulty. And that's what I have, a confident trust, total security, and divine assurance. Isn't it wonderful today, friends, to know that even if the worst thing that could possibly happen to you or to me, that when it happens, we have the grace of God to sustain us, and if when we pass from this life, we know where we are going. We know that we've overcome the greatest enemy of our souls. We've overcome death through Jesus Christ, who bled and died, who was buried, and who rose again. And we have this great hope. In 1952, the American missionary by the name of Jim Elliot traveled to Ecuador to share the gospel. On January 8, 1956, the natives that he was visiting brutally murdered Elliot and four of his fellow missionaries. Elliot was 28 years old with a young wife and a daughter who was not yet 1 year old. In 1958, Jim Elliot's widow, Elizabeth, published the life and testament of her husband. She called it The Shadow of the Almighty. This title is a clear reference to Psalm 91. It helps us to make sense of the message of this psalm. Psalm 91 is no guarantee of immunity from trouble in life or even tragedy in death. But the psalm does celebrate what it means to live with confidence in God. And let me be clear before I go any further. Psalm 91 does not teach us that trust in God will keep you from experiencing bad things in life, but it teaches us that as you trust in God, God will keep you as you go through bad things in life. Isn't that good? It doesn't guarantee us immunity from trouble. We will have bad things happen, but God will keep you in the midst of trouble. Now in verse 1, the psalmist declares the true testimony of a life of confident trust in the Lord. Psalm 91 begins with a general statement of trust. Here's how it goes. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That is a general declaration of trust in God. What is the shelter? And what is the shadow? The shelter or the shadow, friends, is not a place. Do you have a place where you go that gives you comfort? Do you have a place that you just like to go and spend time because you feel at ease there? You feel, it might be a swing in your backyard. It might be your back porch. It might be your recliner. It might be at the lake or something. All those places are wonderful. But let me tell you, this shelter or the shadow is not a place, it's a person. This sovereign bodyguard is described in two ways in verse 1. Number one, he's the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, the living God who is greater than the kings of the earth and the gods of the nations. He is called the Almighty, the living God, who alone possesses omnipotent power. And it's in God, it's in a relationship with Almighty God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we rest in the shadow of the Almighty. My encouragement to you and to everyone here and to myself is that when we face trouble, that we turn to God and that we find comfort, we find strength, we find help in the presence of God. And let me tell you, He can help you. You know why? He's the mighty God. He is the Most High. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And in the very opening of the psalm, the writer wants to make it clear that strength and safety and security is not found in self-defense. It's not found in sinful people. It's not found in elected officials. It's not found in military might or anything. It's only found in the living God. There's a great message here to us as a people of a great nation. We have great military. We have great heritage. We have a strong nation. There's trouble in America today, but we have strong heritage and great strength as a nation. But if we do not look to God, if we do not let God be our strength and to be our helper, if we forsake God, then God will forsake us. And we will be in trouble. Make no mistake, listen to me. Our help cometh from the Lord. We must be a people that gets back to God. Being worshiping in the house of God needs to be a priority. Praying and serving God every day of your life needs to be a priority of your life. Moses sings in Psalm 90, verse 1, he says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. If we are to continue as a great nation, we must make the Lord our dwelling place. God is a shelter to those who trust in Him. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of the sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Hallelujah. I want you to think about this, friends. A human shadow produces fear. The divine shadow gives comfort. It means God is near. Warren Wiersbe says this, The safest place in the world is a shadow if the shadow is the Almighty. Hallelujah. I want you to note the language of verse 1. You must dwell in the shelter of the Most High in order to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Did you hear that? It says you must dwell in the shelter of the Most High in order to abide in the shadow. Let me tell you something. God is a homemaker, not a hotel manager. Did you hear me? You cannot merely check in with God on Sunday morning and think you'll be able to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. He wants you to abide in Him. You must live in Him. You must dwell in Him every day. And when you do that, the protection of God will be yours as you commune with the Lord and not just have a casual once a week relationship with Him. James says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now, verse 2 is shouting territory. Everybody look at verse 2. Verse 2 is a personal testimony of trust in God. Verse 1 was a general statement of trust in God. If somebody were to call this church and say, what do you believe? I could tell them what we believe. I could tell them about the Assemblies of God. I could lead them to the website and say, you can check out all of our beliefs there. It's a general statement of what we believe. There's power in that. But let me tell you, when it becomes your living, breathing, personal testimony that you've experienced in your life, then that even has greater emphasis and greater power. Look at verse 2. Let's read it. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord. Let me ask you, do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? The psalmist, whoever it was, whether it was David or Moses, he had a testimony. He had seen the mighty hand of God at work. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Notice the personal possessive pronouns. My God, my refuge, my fortress, in whom I trust. Can I tell you, it's one thing to talk about God. It's another thing to talk to God. It's one thing to talk about God. It's another thing to testify about what God has done in your life. And the psalmist was not just making general statements about God. He had said, this is what I experienced. I experienced God being my refuge and my strength, the God in whom I trust. Can I tell you something? If you belong to God, God belongs to you. Did you hear that? If you belong to God, God belongs to you. God will make His home where you're at. And when you're in need, God will meet you right at the point of your need. You can personally declare that God is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Let me ask you, is that your testimony? Have you run to the cross to put your trust in the Lord? And if you'd run to the cross to put your trust in the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Christ for your salvation, can you say, my God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If that is your testimony, then you have confident trust in the living God. If it's not your testimony, I plead with you today, run to the cross. Run to the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's no hope for this world or in the life to come from the wrath of God unless we come and put our lives under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have no hope apart from the Lord. Oh, but for the one who puts his trust in the Lord, no matter what this life may bring, you will live with the assurance of divine protection. I want you to hear this story. It's a powerful one. In the 15th century, there was a plague in London. A Christian nobleman by the name of Lord Craven decided to flee the city for his estate in the country. While his servants were packing up his stuff, he overheard a servant innocently say to another, "I suppose our Lord is fleeing the city for the country because his God is a God of the country and not a God of the city." Lord Craven was so convicted by those innocent words of his servants that he decided that he would stay in the city. He canceled his trip and he declared, "My God lives everywhere and can preserve me in the town as well in the country. I will stay here and I will serve the people." He remained in London to help the plague victims, but he never caught the disease because God is a refuge to those who trust in him. So in verse 1 and 2, there's a life of confident trust in the Lord supported by a personal testimony of confident trust in God. I don't know about you, but I could stand up here and tell you time and time again of how God has protected my life, how he's cared for me. We have today his word, and we have the testimony of many that God is a refuge and a strength to those who are in need. Hallelujah. I want us to pray today. If I go much further, I'll have to go for a long time. And so I must pause right here. So let's pray. Father, we come. We come today to declare that you are the one who protects us. Lord, there are many enemies of our life. There's evil. There's demonic powers in this world. There's sickness. There's terrorism. There's fear. And Lord, today we must put our trust in you to watch over our lives and our children, our families, our livelihood, our future. We trust in you today. And we've seen how you've blessed our lives and the lives of so many who have put their confident trust in you. Give us peace, give us assurance that we can know that we know that we know that when you are leading us, when you are covering us, you are giving us the strength and the power that we need. So I pray today for anyone who may be in need, anyone whose life is plagued with fear or difficulty or tragedy. I pray that we would lean upon you today. We would look to you, that we would put our faith in you, and that, Lord, we would have a testimony that we could share with the world, that others would see in us the glory of Almighty God.